Hello, and welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. It is my absolute delight to see you and give you meditation instruction. My name is Susan Piver, if you're just joining. And we're going to sit together today for 10 minutes, and we're going to start not right now. I want to tell you a story that's a little bit longer than normal, but if you'd like to go right to the meditation, please do. There should be a notation under this video of exactly when the meditation starts, and if you need to do that, by all means, please, please do. If you're watching this video on the day it's sent, it is September 11th, and it is very natural, of course, for all of us to think back to 9/11, to where we were on September 11th, 2001. And of course, I think back to where I was as well, but my memory always goes to September 12th, 2001, and I'll tell you why in a second. So on September 11th, I was in Washington, D.C. visiting my family. I grew up, Washington, D.C. is my hometown. And I was scheduled to do a book signing on September 12th in Borders Bookstore in the World Trade Center. And obviously, it was canceled. My plan had been to visit my family, drive to New York on September 12th, do my book signing, and then drive back home to Boston September 13th. And I had only recently moved to Boston from New York City about a month prior. I had been a New Yorker for quite a while up to that point. So on September 12th, I woke up thinking I better get on the road because it could take me a day or 2 days even to drive back to Boston. I don't know what I'm going to find when I get out there. There could be tanks, armored vehicles, roadblocks, patrols of all sorts. Roads could be closed. At the very least, everybody whose flight was canceled, which is everybody, would probably be in some sort of car or bus or conveyance trying to get from point A to point B. So I should leave really early. And so I left probably around 5:30 in the morning. And I thought, instead of driving through New York to get to Boston, which is the normal route, I would probably have to go west, way west through central Pennsylvania and then enter Massachusetts from the western end of the state. But I thought, let me just get on the road and see what's happening and then make adjustments as I go along. And when I did get on the road, what I saw was nothing. It was eerily vacant. And I don't think it's just because it was 5:30 in the morning, because it was 6, it was 6:30, it was 7, and so on. And there was nobody. There was no roadblocks, there were no tanks, there was nobody on the road. And as I got closer and closer to New York City, you know, my heart got heavier and heavier, like everyone else's in the world. The Holland Tunnel is blocked, the Lincoln Tunnel is blocked. I felt all my friends and people I loved dearly and my old home was cut off from me, and something devastating and terrible had happened, and I couldn't quite feel it in my bones. I just knew it was horrible. So I'm passing New York City, I drive past the Holland Tunnel exit, the Lincoln Tunnel exit, and as I'm passing the Tappan Zee Bridge, which comes in sort of the northern part of Manhattan, there was still no traffic. And suddenly, I got on the Tappan Zee Bridge. And I thought, I'm going in. Hello, kitty. And I don't care how long it takes. Well, it took me 15 minutes because nobody else was trying to drive into Manhattan on that day, on September 12th. So within about 15 minutes, like I say, I was in Manhattan and I parked my car around Union Square, where I had most recently lived. And I didn't know what I was going to do, but I thought, well, let me just see it. And a friend of mine had a yoga studio, it's not there anymore, on 14th Street near Union Square. And I just parked near there. I thought, I'm going there. I don't know why. So I walked up the stairs to the yoga studio, and the woman at the desk said, are you here for Tong Len practice? Tong Len is a meditation practice that is sometimes translated as the practice of sending and taking, the practice of exchanging self for other. And in this practice, you do the opposite of what is often counseled, to find ease, which is to Breathe in everything good and peaceful and happy, and breathe out everything stressful and dark and difficult. This practice reverses that, so that you breathe in what is heavy and dark and difficult, and you breathe out as an offering what is joyful and released and happy. And it turns out that this, rather than trying to keep and ward off, to share actually raises your happiness and strengthens your joy, and also is quite beneficial to others, way more than, you know, trying to hold on and ward off and so on. So in the practice of Tonglen, you don't breathe in the idea of icky and breathe out the idea of awesome. You imagine that you're breathing in a substance. You kind of give it texture, like you breathe in something gritty and dry and dusty and sticky and dark. Ugh. And you breathe out something light and bright and cool and refreshing. So you work with texture more than story in this practice. So she said to me, "Are you here for Tonglen practice?" And I said, "I guess I am." So I went upstairs to the yoga studio and sat down. It was a small room, but it was quite full. And we began to do the practice of Tonglen. And we were facing where the World Trade Centers had been. And we were probably, I don't know, what is World Trade Center to 14th Street? A mile and a half, something like that. 2 miles, maybe. And as we were breathing in this texture of gritty and dusty and sticky, and I realized, well, that is actually what we are doing. The air was filled with strange particles, and it smelled like burnt rubber, and there was an odd odor. I'll never forget it, and I've never smelt anything like it since. And there was this sense of, oh, we are breathing in the dust of exploded computers and the cells of human beings, and the practice never was so real and so powerful. We were actually breathing in the texture, and nobody had to imagine it. And it was unforgettable. And the practice was over, and I left, and I said, well, I thought to myself, well, I'm just going to walk as close as I can to the World Trade Center. And Manhattan was blocked off at Houston Street, so I couldn't get very close. But I walked as close as I could down 6th Avenue, which is a wide avenue. And traffic was cut off to all but emergency vehicles. So people were not just walking on the sidewalks, they're walking in the streets. And they just sort of pass, you know, sort of separate when a vehicle would approach and just let the emergency vehicle through. And what I remember most is those people. And everybody looked at everybody. Nobody wanted to be inside alone, it seemed. The streets were full. The cafe tables were full. It was a bright, sunny day. People were outside. And everybody was looking at each other with so much warmth and confusion and fear, but also love. And I circled back to Union Square itself, and someone had rolled out a really long piece of butcher paper. I think that's what it's called, brown craft paper. And there was countless candles and lit candles and things written, and everything I saw was kind and generous and told me that yes, while it was and today too is a day to focus on what is wrong and the violence and terror that exists in our world, it is equally a day to focus on the largesse, on the bigness of heart and the natural kindness and care that to me exceeded the terrible violence. So when I think back to 9/11, I actually think back to 9/12 and the faces I saw and the great tenderness that I was privileged to witness. So I too, to end my story, wrote something on this enormous roll of craft paper. And what I wrote was what's called the Dedication of Merit, which is a Buddhist chant. Different lineages use different words, but basically it's a traditional way to close the practice by offering the merit of your practice, whatever happened, good, bad, or ugly. You close your practice not by holding on to it, like, oh, okay, I'm getting good at this, or this is really doing something for me, but instead by giving it away so that it may benefit all beings, which includes you, by the way, so you're not really losing it. You're multiplying it times infinity. So I wrote, by this merit, may all attain omniscience. May it defeat the enemy wrongdoing from the storms of old age, sickness, and death. May I liberate all beings. By the confidence of the golden sun of the great east, may the lotus garden of the Rigdon's wisdom bloom. May the dark ignorance of sentient beings be dispelled. May all beings enjoy profound, brilliant glory. And then I got in my car and drove home. So thank you for indulging me and listening to this story if you got this far. And now with the sense of appreciation for our own vulnerability, which gives rise to this indestructible goodness and tenderness that we contact with every breath in our meditation practice. Let's practice. Begin your practice, please, by sitting up straight and let your shoulders roll back a little bit. Let your heart shine forth. You don't have to be afraid. This tenderness is also power, because it makes you generous and flexible and real. So you don't have to hide in strange stories when your heart is open. The legs are crossed loosely in front of you if you're seated on a cushion, but if you're in a chair, no problem. Sit with your feet flat on the floor. The hands are palms down, resting on at mid-thigh, just above the knee, or wherever feels comfortable for you. And sink into your cushion or chair. Give your weight to it. Don't be afraid to be right here with this incredibly open heart. Let the shoulders relax. And while there is a sense of rooting down and really being here, let there also be a sense in the torso of rising up, lifting up, aspiring up. And because you're so amazing, you can root down and be here and rise up and aspire to the heavens at the same time. This is called joining heaven and earth. The mouth is closed, and the breath comes in and out through the nose. And the breath is natural. There's no instruction for breathing because you already know how to do that. Fascinatingly, the eyes remain open and the gaze cast down to a spot about 6 feet or 1.5 meters in front of you. And it's just a place for your gaze to land. It's darting all day. Now it can just whoosh, land and rest. So the eyes are soft and sort of half open. And the crown of the head lifts up a little bit. And see if you can feel the line between the sit bones rooting down and the crown rising up. There's a line down your back that connects the two. Your spine. So now that we've taken the posture, now what? Notice that you're breathing. Feel the breath. Feel the breath coming in on the inhale. And flowing out on the exhale. And then you don't have to do anything because it will happen again with zero effort required of you. So follow the next breath. With a sense of resting your mind on the breath like it was this awesome wave and it carried you in. And allowed you to flow out. Your mind will continue to think things because that's its job. Thank you, that's awesome. But instead of allowing your attention to be absorbed in thought, choose breath instead. And if you notice that you re-choose thought, meaning you start getting absorbed in thought rather than breath, to the point where you've forgotten about your breath totally, no problem. The instruction is simply to let go of that thought, regardless of its content or temperature or size or meaning. Let go and gently come back to your breath and start again. And that's it. So we'll sit together. To close our practice, if you like, you can join me in rousing the aspiration that our practice together could somehow benefit the whole world. We don't know how, but we can wish for it. Thank you for your practice.